We're right, are we, Anita? Thank you. Well, I hope everybody had a little bit of fun and a nice cup of tea and a bite to eat. So we're going to move on to 24.15.3, and Gary, you are leaving the room for this one. Thank you. Chris, would you like to talk to the Neighbourhood House request for us, please?
Thank you, Mayor. This was also discussed at the workshop, where Neighbourhood House Tasmania are holding a conference in conjunction with St Helens Neighbourhood House and Fingal Valley Neighbourhood House in St Helens this year. They've asked if Council will contribute some funding towards this event. It brings an exceptional amount of people to our community, not just those that are attending, but their partners as well. And there's also the opportunity for councillors to attend the conference, or the community to attend the conference and some of the events as well. So they're asking for financial support, and also support, and the support in regards to hall hire will be taken off the $5,000. So it's a $5,000 package in total.
Thank you very much, Chris. Can I have somebody move the officer's recommendation? Councillor Wright, seconded Councillor Carter. Anybody would like to comment, Councillor Wright?
I'm very much in support.
Councillor Carter?
In addition to the number of people we'll bring to the conference, it'll inform better practice in the future, so I can't say there's anything other than an amazing opportunity for a break a day.
Thank you very much, Councillor Carter. Have we got anyone who'd like to speak against this? Councillor Johnston?
This is not a case, but a question. It is mainly for, and I know we've spoken about this, but it's mainly for Neighbourhood House staff and to attend this. We've noted here that conference registration is also open to the public to participate, which gives, and I don't think it is the entire community, because it's $495 to participate in it. So I just would like to note that.
What would you like to your
question? My question is.
Well, we're a little bit lost.
Well, it's where you asked if people were for or against.
Yes, against.
And I need to just say that there's something in here which doesn't ring true to me, that it actually gives some in the community an opportunity to participate, not the entire community. That's what I was noting.
Thank you very
much.
Can I just clarify that? So one of the events is the community garden open day, which is open to all the community at no cost. So there is the opportunity for them to go. They're also having trade stalls and things like that. It's my understanding that is also open to the community and free of charge, so it showcases what the houses do. So there are opportunities where people can attend at no cost, yes, but to actually attend the conference, and I know that's the full package, and I believe that there are other packages available as well, which are a lot cheaper. Yeah.
Councillor Drummond, you're for or against?
For, I just would like to clarify a few things, if I may, through the chair. We've got that Break a Day Council will be provided with 4 non-member tickets to the conference. So is it anticipated they would go to community members, Chris, or to members of staff? Or
it's entirely up to the council. If they would like them to be offered to community members, certainly we could do that, or if councillors wish to go. There are council staff actually on the planning committee as part of the event too.
And it also says we would like to invite the mayors and councillors to be part of the proceedings. So I'm just curious at what level we're going to be involved and if we're going to be up for the $495 as councillors. I just wanted some clarity around those last few paragraphs. I'm not quite sure. We've got 4 tickets, but then mayor and councillors are being asked to be part of the proceedings. Is there an expectation that we would pay the full $495? Even though, as you say, there are a couple of events which are free. So I'd just like some clarity around that.
Through Mayor, you've been asked to open it, I believe. Or if you haven't yet, you will be
I haven't quite. I haven't received that as yet. But obviously, if it doesn't conflict with anything else in my diary, if I'm not in Canberra or anything else, I'll be definitely opening. If not, it'll be my Deputy Mayor.
Through Mayor, I can certainly find out. Thank you.
Thank you. No further questions. I'll take this to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. Thank you.
I'll swap with him.
No worries. Just ask if he's kept the seat warm for you, mate. Thank you very much, Barry. Out goes Barry and in comes Gary. Revolving door.
Yeah.
It's really good to see people put their hand up and disclose early in the piece. Thank you very much for both of you two for doing that. 24.15.4, the BioFires Winter Arts Festival funding. Chris.
Thank you, Mayor. This was discussed at the council workshop. As councillors are aware, a total of $14,000 is put aside as part of the budget process for this event, $10,000 for the BioFires Arts Prize, and $4,000 is earmarked for the BioFires Winter Arts Festival. As it was brought to our attention, the Arts Festival is not occurring this year due to panorama issues with panorama and sightings of the festival and of the market, so it's not going ahead. We received a request that the $4,000 still be paid to the committee. After the conversations at the workshop, the following recommendation was that we didn't reallocate the funding for this year.
Councillor Wright, before I do that, I'd better have somebody move the officer's recommendations. Councillor Johnston, seconded. Councillor Chappell, thank you. Councillor Wright.
I just have a bit of a concern here because there's this email that we received the other day, which is the rationale of why the BioFires Arts Association were requesting the extra funding. And it just concerns me that that was sent through on the 21st of March and we didn't receive it until the other day, because that's information that we probably should have had when we were having that discussion at the workshop. And I just feel that there is some validity to their requesting, because they do do other things. I mean, they've been supporting additional costing for additional events. And I just, if I'd known this information before, I probably would have taken a different opinion.
Explanation. So I met with the deputy president of the committee and said that we'd heard at this stage, and even before we received any formal notification that the market wasn't going ahead. And you know, could he let me know, or could they put something together? They put something together. I then spoke to the president of the arts committee and asked them to put something together. Now, they didn't resubmit that the second time, but we did resend it to you, and you do have the opportunity to change the motion if you wish.
Councillor Drummond.
I too think it would have been useful to have been over this information prior to the discussion at the workshop. However, I also feel that the committee needs to take control of their applications for funding. And when they're asking for $4,000 for a market that doesn't exist, that makes it very difficult for us as councillors to be able to say yes, we can authorise that. However, if they put in a different sort of application, so this does fall back to their responsibility, if they put in a different application saying that the $4,000 was going to create and support these other items, then we may possibly think about increasing the $10,000 to $14,000. As it stands, we were being asked to give $4,000 to a market that wasn't taking place. So, a bit of confusion, and I think that rests with the committee to be very clear in their outlining what their grants requests are for. So that's just my...
To respond, so through you, Mayor, we did talk about the other options that they did at the workshop, yes. We did speak about it and we made reference to the poster that was at the back, yeah. But I agree, you know, the information should have come with the initial application.
Okay. Any further discussion on this? Councillor Carter?
I guess my concern is just in looking at the overall picture of the arts in Breaker Day. I guess what I'm trying to say is this is not the only organisation that exists, and we've just previously just funded some sculptural trail stuff and things like that. So I would hope that in the future we have an overarching body of the arts that furthers this conversation when these specific submissions come to council. Having said that, I'm more than understanding and supportive of all the things that have been said at the moment. It was really difficult to make a decision and then have other information further down the track.
If I may, Councillor Carter, we have every opportunity right now, if somebody would like to move an amendment, change that decision, as that was the officer's recommendation based from our workshop and the discussions, and hence not all the information was freely available. Councillor Wright.
I would actually like to make an amendment to the motion that we do support them.
in light of the further information that has been provided, I can see there is...
We'd like to move a motion to amend the officer's recommendation.
Yes, that we,
that
do,
we do support...
allocate this $4,000.
Thank you. Do we have a second for that motion? Councillor Drummond. So, we have any discussion on the new motion? Councillor Wright? Sorry, that Councillor Wright moved. Councillor Drummond?
Yeah, look...
it's not really a motion, the officer's recommendation, is it? It's really a new motion.
Yeah, so, through you, Mr Mayor, given the proposed motion is directly contrary to the original motion, it's not really an amendment. What we would need to do is to put the original motion and anticipate that that would not pass, and then a second motion to actually make the allocation. So
we'll take this one as a foreshadowed motion.
A foreshadowed motion that the funds be made available.
Okay, if you're happy with that, John, I will first, with everybody's permission, take the officer's recommendation to the vote. If that fails, we have a foreshadowed motion. So the officer's recommendation is we do not allocate the $4,000 for the 23-24 budget, which were initially allocated to the Biofires Winter Arts Market, to the Biofires Winter Arts Festival, as the market will not be taking place this year. So that is the what we're taking voting on at the moment. I would take that to the vote. All in favour of that? We have three, Councillor Carter, Councillor Johnston and Councillor Chappell. Against, Councillor Barnes, Councillor Wright, Councillor Drummond, Councillor Oldham and myself.
Sorry,
so that first one
is
lost.
Down?
Yes, so, you
sorry.
Certainly may.
Right.
Against was Councillor Carter, Councillor Chappell and...
Four
the motion, sorry. Sorry. Was, and Councillor Johnston were for that motion and against was all the rest.
Yep.
That's easy. So we have a foreshadowed motion. The foreshadowed motion is that we do support the $4,000 for the Biofires Market. That's been moved by Councillor Wright. Do I have a seconder for that motion?
Can I ask? It's not for
the
market.
No, not yet. I have a seconder for that motion. That wasn't formal. So Councillor Drummond has seconded the motion that which was foreshadowed, which Councillor Wright has moved, that we do allocate the $4,000
to the Biofires Winter Arts
Festival. Not the market.
Arts
Sorry,
Festival.
It's your motion.
Yeah. For the purpose of...
additional programs that they are involved in. I mean, they're not doing the market.
Or festival to provide additional resources to this year's festival.
Yep. So if you'd like just to read that out, please, before we discuss that.
That council allocates $4,000 to the Biofires Winter Arts Festival. Biofires Winter Arts Festival. To support the activities of the 2024 festival.
Okay, so the motion is up on the screen.
Councillor Drummond, yep.
Councillor Drummond.
I was just going to say, I don't know if we can vote on the motion or if it needs to go underneath, but there's something in there that needs to say when this comes to us next year, they very specifically state what the money is to be used for and not for the arts market.
I think we can do that without the motion. We can actually get our officer to put a letter back to them this is a one-off, unless there is communication to a higher level, it won't be accepted.
Thank you.
Now, before everybody's got that on the screen, the council allocate $4,000 to the Biofires Winter Arts Festival to support the activities of the 2024 festival. That's been moved by Councillor Wright and seconded by Councillor Drummond. Do we have anyone against this? We have nobody. I would, Councillor Chappell.
I'll just make comment just what Councillor Drummond said before, and that's why my decision will be no. they need to look at the grant funding and they need to be a bit more organised in regards to that. So I'm still going with my original decision.
No, that's fine. Thank you very much. Do we have any other comments you'd like to speak for or against? For? Hey, Councillor Wright, you already moved it. Against? Okay, I'll take this to the vote. All in favour? Councillor Barnes, Councillor Wright, Councillor Drummond, Councillor Oldham. You can't be for and against.
Yeah,
your
sorry,
yeah, sorry
yeah,
Councillor Johnson.
It's a different. It's a different motion. And
okay. Well. Okay, Councillor Johnston, and we have against Councillor Chappell, and that's it. That was it.
I'm abstaining because I got confused before.
And Councillor Carter has abstained, so that is carried. Thank you.
Thank you, councillors.
24.16.1 is the Development Services report.
Yep, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Apologies from Development Services Coordinator Jake Inan today. He's tied up with other activities at the moment. So just in relation to the report, I just note a few things that planning activity levels is tracking along, just probably a slightly lower level than previous years, but it's fairly consistent in relation to that there as well. The number of strategic land use planning activities which council officers are progressing as in amongst their other activities of dealing with DAs and etc. In relation to the capital works projects, which Jake has reported on there, a number have been completed. Obviously, the big ones that are going on at the moment are to do with the Black Summer bushfire ones, which are progressing through that process as well. So they're drawing to a conclusion over the next few months. That'll be great to get completed. But happy to take any questions and endeavour to answer them, Mr. Mayor.
Can I have somebody move that the report be received? Councillor Barnes, seconded Councillor Wright. Any questions to John on the Development Services report? Councillor Drummond?
Just one question, and it's related to at the new evacuation centre and the exhibition hall. Do we know when the reports from the engineer will come back to council for consideration?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I would anticipate the report should be received in the next week or so. Jake met with the engineers, etc., on site, so once they get their act together, so as soon as we have the report, we'll be bringing it through to council for council's consideration. Hopefully, we've got it for the June workshop, but no promises on that because the agenda's only a week away, so. The agenda's only a week away, so there's no guarantees on that, so hopefully. Hopefully we've got that.
Do we have any further questions to John? If not, I'll take this to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. Thank you. 24.16.2 is the final report of the Lower George floodplain. Yeah. John?
I'm just waiting for our NRM facilitator to come into the meeting, Mr. Mayor.
Okay.
I'll send you a message.
Molly, you see if he's out there with Chris Hemsworth, please. It was just a little bit of a private joke. I told Molly that we had a special guest coming for the citizenship and she was quizzing me all the time. I said, well, if you throw things away, it'll come back, you know. Could be like a hammer. That was my hint. And Chris Hemsworth, he was here in Tassie in January. I said, you never know who may come. Good afternoon, Polly. Still good morning, Polly, I mean. If you'd like to walk us through the floodplain evolution impact assessment. Thanks, Polly.
Thank you, Mayor. Through you, councillors. We didn't have a lot of changes to the draft, which council reviewed. Did add a few comments, for example, about willows and replacing them with native vegetation in one location. And also emphasising that the bay natural environment also potentially affected.
Great.
Thank you, Polly. Could I have somebody move that we receive the officer's recommendation? Councillor Lefevre, seconded Councillor Johnston. Any comments to Polly on this report? Councillor Lefevre?
I'd like to say I think it's a really terrific report. Some of the material in it is really disturbing, but it's easy to understand and easy to follow, and I think it gives us a clear direction to go for in the future, towards in the future, including getting funding from state and federal.
I'm sorry, people, I'm not being rude. I've just got to notify our next person to come to the meeting. At what time? I think we need them in here.
I'll get sorted.
Thank you. So, if we have Councillor Drummond.
I was just going to say, I think it's a great really engaged by the community through this process. And now that we've got that body of work sitting there, it does allow us to make grant funding applications if we can determine what our next stages are, which are laid out there. So I think it's excellent, and congratulations to everyone involved in the process.
Councillor Johnston.
I've just stepped in the motion. I wanted to also thank you for the work. And I agree with Councillor Levine. It's really well written. It really helps people. Like, when you get reports, you often can't really see. Yeah. Often, maybe it's just me, but you can really see the scenarios, and it's really well spelled out. And I think, again, with the grant funding, but also our opportunities to work with farmers and others in the community to make, you know, to let them see what and how nature does what it does, and that we're sort of got some clear understanding through experts as to what the scenarios are. So it's a very good report. Thank you.
Councillor Robert.
My comment was also in support and basically exactly what Liz has just said and what Janet said. It is a great report. It's very well written. It does make it easy to understand. And having something that's been put together so well will also aid with many future grant applications. So.
Thank you very much. Mr. Mayor, I'll just add to that. You know, council itself doesn't have a large stake in terms of assets. I'm certainly very concerned in terms of the St Helens community, business and the overall regional economy and access to the Bay of Fires. But it is some other big agencies and asset owners that we can work with and make use of this report, and hopefully they will seize it as well and take the opportunity.
Thank you very much, Polly. Well, I'll take this to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous, thank you. 24.16.3 is the Binlong Bay Barbecue Shelter.
Yep, thank you, Mr. Mayor. As Council is aware, the barbecue shelter at Binlong Bay requires replacement. This, in part, is due to a couple of factors. One is the very poor condition of the current facility, and secondly, the other is its location within the depression, which is prone to flooding from groundwater, which we can do nothing about. So council officers have examined the site and have identified three potential options for a replacement shelter. Unfortunately, none of the three are a perfect location. There are advantages and disadvantages with all three of the options. So what we are suggesting is that we go to, and we've also taken into account the Binlong Bay Foreshore Master Plan in these considerations as well. So we are suggesting that we go to community with the options which we've identified. They may come back with a different option, which will most likely not be in this area, because these are the only real logic ones there, but we'll wait and see. Go to community, get their thoughts on the options here, and then from there we'll come back to council. Jake has also identified the need to make an allocation in the budget to continue these works. We've certainly been through initial design phase so far anyhow. The intent would be to get this moving and have the new structure in place for the forthcoming summer period.
Can I have somebody move the officer's recommendation? Councillor Fever, seconded Councillor Wright. Any questions or comments, please? I'll take this to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous, thank you. 24.17.1 is the General Manager's report. John.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just a couple of things here, and just following on from the comments that were made during the community services report, just want to acknowledge what a wonderful event that volunteer festival was, and certainly I've had some feedback from a few people that attended that on the day, volunteers, and they thoroughly enjoyed it. And I think they said, "Can we do a similar thing next year?" I said, "Well, just have to wait and see." But like, thank you to the groups that actually took the time to put in their festival, their videos, their little films. They were really inspiring, and also to the council officers for organising that as well. In relation to the Tasman Highway Corridor strategy, obviously, as I've said, and I mentioned that council workshop, etc. Look, the questions in the survey were quite generic and seemed to have quite a significant focus around public transport and active transport, as in walking and cycling. And people could be forgiven for being quite frustrated with the nature of it. Anyway, the frustrations I have conveyed back to the Department of State Growth, and in doing that, I've also suggested to them that when they come to do their community, the consultation, community engagement plan for St Mary's Pass, we'd be more than willing to have a look at their draft engagement plan before they implement it. So that seemed to be taken on notice. That one, I think it's fair to say they haven't said yes, but they're aware of our offer, and hopefully they will talk to us about that. Apart from that, Mr. Mayor, happy to take questions there in relation to the report.
Thank you. Can I have somebody move that the report be received? Councillor Drummond, second. Councillor Wright, any questions to the General Manager? Councillor Drummond.
A couple of things. Page 240. I'm mistaken. You had two meetings on the 2nd or the 4th in St. Helens. They repeat themselves. It's just an error in the document.
Oh. We are missing a number there. The exceptional experience one with East Coast Taz Tourism. So that was
What's supposed to be in there, not the. Is that just a typo?
That's just a typo on date. Typo on date.
Okay,
that's all right. Typo on date. So, yeah, and repetition, as you've noted. So, yeah.
Another question. Okay, 241. Meetings with community members, including Jason Unwin and the Georges Bay Sailing Club. May I ask what those briefings were about, or is that?
Jason Unwin, obviously, he's the owner of Easy Tiger, so that was.
That was just about one.
That was really, he was talking about what his plans are for the site moving forward, and general catch up regarding that one. And Georges Bay Sailing Club, they are looking at their options for where they're going to be located. So we just they've come back with further information at some stage down the track, and council will need to consider that. Yeah.
Tiger is a real bonus for the town at the moment with what they're doing over there. It's been a really good process to watch.
Any further questions? Councillor Chappell.
It was quite pleasant walking through there the other day.
I was actually there last night. I did an open mic thing. Just a shame that they're not getting more patronage at the moment. I know it's cold, but there was only four people in the audience last night.
You always like singing in large crowds.
Oh, yeah. It was the biggest crowd I've ever had. Yeah.
If we have no further questions, I'll take this to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. Thank you. 24.17.2 is the call for motions for the gap. John, would you like to lead this one, please?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. It's just periodically LGAT gives notice of a call for motions for future meetings, and this is one there. Obviously, our domestic violence one is going straight through to ALGA, but whether there's anything else that council might want to consider submitting a motion for this particular item, open for conversations. Councillor
Drummond. I'd like to see us pop through the chair, if possible, doing something around housing. I think it's just so important. And whether I was looking at that, like Scottsdale
facility that's just opened with the 12
tiny houses.
12 tiny homes, a pretty amazing project. I missed the opening, unfortunately, else I would have gone up for it. And I'm just thinking, is there something that we can do to... I don't know what the motion is, so I'm putting it to you, John, with your brain, to think about it. But I think we need to do something in the housing sphere because we're so short on housing in the area for general residential, rental, not purchasing, but rental, and for workers' accommodation. And that tiny housing thing just struck me as being so ideal that you could have workers' accommodation that would look something like that. But also people who were in emergency accommodation, who need emergency accommodation, you know.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, the within the East Coast Strategic Regional Partnership, there is a component around the examination of the housing situation to identify, make recommendations, and hopefully ultimately progress to ensure that things like worker accommodation and other forms of accommodation are addressed. So this is something we've long advocated for at the state level to do that analysis of the nature and extent of need on the East Coast, and then particularly around the worker accommodation, once you know the nature and extent of need, then how that opportunity is communicated and translated to potentially the private sector or a combination of private and public to actually take advantage of that to address the need. So that piece of work's happening over there. I'm not quite sure what the motion would be that we will be taking to LGAT around this one there as well, but certainly we've got action happening over there, and it's also a key focus area that council has as well.
It's state funding, I suppose. You know, an emergency. I'm really serious about emergency. I know of families who are currently homeless, you know, with kids in this weather. It's like three children and a single mum who are just got nowhere to go on their couch surfing. It's like they cannot get into rentals. That something has to, you know, something has to give, really.
This is what we've been advocating so strongly with state build affordable housing. Obviously, the project we've got coming through at Fingal, that's part of our action there, but we just need to keep pushing for these projects to occur in our communities.
Our community.
And be accepted within our communities.
There is state funding out there for accommodation. It's federal. Just like we, and federal, and we just need somehow to grasp it and just work with it, you know.
But if I can, Councillor Drummond, also is LGAT is pushing extremely hard to try to get the contribution charge introduced, infrastructure contribution planning, because you can have the money to build a house, but you've got nowhere to build it because it's not in the planning scheme for the... We've got to really do some dramatic changes in rezoning and allowing things to happen, and that's where LGAT is working really hard with the government and trying to get that stuff across the line. So not only government, but independents and opposition infrastructure contribution, because there's people who've got land banks and they won't develop because of the cost. Councillor?
There's also people I've spoken to who have large-ish acreage properties that have previously been farming properties, but they're zoned rural, and they would like to actually move in that direction.
That's the zoning part I'm talking about.
That's the zoning part and land use strategy part.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Councillor Oldham?
Would the Scottsdale Tiny Homes project, would that be private enterprise or...?
I think it was in collaboration with the... there's a big story in the paper the other day about it, Vaughan, which was really good. It was opened, what, 2 weeks ago?
It's privately owned land.
Yes.
It's actually privately owned land.
Yes.
I think it was zoned rural resource from what I know. Yeah.
So the project's been funded privately?
Yeah.
Okay. And like, it's a fairly commercial project.
And the council worked. They had the opportunity to work with them and help get it up over the line really quick. Which is the zoning is a big part of where you can build, and infrastructure contribution is a very big part of why people land bank and don't go ahead and developing. So there's lots of issues, and the end result is getting more houses built. So that's what we're working towards.
We've got the economic, hopefully we've got a new economic development officer coming on board, and that could be, you know, looking at a partnership with council, with this tiny homes company who seemed quite keen, with the state government, looking at what land is available, and I think that could be a really solid way in moving forward. Sorry, I
through, Ms. Mayor. Mm-hmm. that's what we've done before. We've looked at establishing those partnerships, which is what we did with Centre Care of Vale. We assess the opportunity. So establishing strategic partnerships to unlock and create housing is a really important piece of work that which Council can do and is doing as well. So the piece around the worker accommodation is just a bit more complicated because there's no real data around the nature and extent of need. So we need that data, which, as I said, can then help with business case development and potentially might be able to access funding through the National Housing Strategy Initiative or whatever they call it at the moment, which they're advocating.
We're imagining to have like 12 small homes that we could have just for emergency accommodation in the municipality, you know, that we could, whatever the scenario might be, that they would be there for rental for people who were in that kind of crisis mode. No.
When we looked at the emergency housing as part of the old hospital site, certainly one of the challenges which Homes Tasmania have, or Department of Communities TAS have, is the service provider to manage this facility, because it's not just a case of having house there for the emergency stuff, it's actually how they're managed, and they're different to the normal rental situation. So, and unfortunately, being where we are, we don't have the housing managers located here in the town or in Breaker Day that they do in Launceston and Hobart, which is nice and easy to deal with. So when it gets a bit further afield, they seem to find it too hard.
Councillor Carter.
I just want to make a comment about what the GM just said a moment ago about worker accommodation. It quite surprised me that Easy Tiger basically provide accommodation to guarantee their staffing. Scamander Resort the same, and Pelican Sands over the other side of the river, same thing again. And it's quite surprising how much is required and how much it's already happening just slightly behind the scenes.
And Panorama were previously
they were
doing
as
well.
We had
chefs in St Helens living over the summer in their cars because they couldn't find accommodation.
We need to do something.
So look, thanks for that. We'll work on that one, but that one's got to come September. So we've got plenty of time.
Well, no, the notice of motion, Mr Mayor, has to be in before then if we're going to put in a motion. And we've had a conversation around what Council's doing.
7th of June.
But it actually hasn't translated to, here's a motion that's going to go to LGAT.
If anyone wanted to email Jane a motion, because the closing date is the 7th of June, sorry.
Yeah.
Okay, so we don't need to vote on that one. That's for discussion. 24.17.3, the annual plan quarterly review.
Yep, thank you, Mr Mayor. So, received at the workshop, here is the annual plan quarterly review, noting that aiming a target of 75%, we are sitting at 67%. In my report, I've outlined areas where we've got some significant variation. Some of them relate to either external influences, which are a bit beyond our control. Others relate to resourcing as well. One of the ones that I do want to note there is in relation to population one, I mentioned in there about being delayed due to the Strategic Regional Partnership, and it is an item within the Strategic Regional Partnership. The point that it's become quite evident through the inception meeting for the Economic Development Strategy and also looking at the Aquatic Centre project, that we actually don't have the luxury of waiting for the Strategic Regional Partnership for this information. We actually need to do it and do it now so that we've got the latest information available for to inform these strategic processes. So based on that, I've had a meeting with Lisa Denny last week and we've talked about updating the information for Breaker Day, but also providing information, and she understands the projects we've got going on, but also looking a bit more depth at the housing, also the health, education and a range of other things related to that. So for the councillors that were here previously and have seen the presentation and report, Lisa will take a very similar approach to that there, but also provide a bit more of a detailed written report at the end to give us the latest population projections. Treasury, I note, on Friday have released their updated projections. filing their review of what they had originally projected, using more up-to-date trend information. And so they've just published the high, medium, low serious projections for various all the local government areas around the state. So I haven't looked at it in detail, but certainly I'll be including that in my report to the next council meeting. But I'll circulate the link to council so you can have a little look at that as well. But it's timely. That was one of the other reasons why we hadn't been able to progress, was we were waiting for Treasury to actually release the information. So Lisa will be working on that now for us as well.
Can I have somebody move the report? Be received. Councillor Fever, seconded Councillor Barnes. And questions? Councillor Wright.
I just had a question on the aquatic centre feasibility study. That had originally, I understood, it was originally quoted as about $40,000. It's now $90,000, is that correct?
What we had, Councillor Wright, was initial allocation of $40,000. We had no idea. We've never had a quote on it because it was the nature of the investigation. So at the last budget in the current year, we put some extra funds in there because if councillors, it's very much a staged approach where there's the initial feasibility study, then there's a more detailed business case as well. So the 90, some of that will transfer across into future investigations, but it's just because we had no idea what this was going to look like. It was at least to have an allocation there that we could work with. So the committee will be in the process of assessing those, and there'll be a report back to council in the near future on that.
Do we have any further questions? Councillor Drummond.
Just on page 264, going back to housing, we're talking about, you say there, John, some affordable housing projects are being pursued in Fingal and at St Mary's. Can I ask where in St Mary's? Do we know, or is that just a general kind of...
Yeah, through you,
at the back of the hospital?
Yes, working on one at the back of the hospital.
Mm. And that site round the back of the Catholic Church is no good?
We raised it with them and they haven't come back to us. They seem to only ever be able to work on one project at a time in some of these locations, but that was certainly pointed out to them. And also raised questions around the one on the corner of Cameron and Main as well, yeah, which has also been noted for potential car parking.
Page 279. And I'm still wondering where we're at with St Mary's Pass stuff.
St Mary's
Not
Pass.
Not us, but the St Mary's
study of the state. Yeah. So as I mentioned there, they've got a consultant appointed, which is great. It got held up a little bit by a state election. I thought it was a little bit further. And as mentioned in the previous items, they have a draft community engagement strategy developed, and that I've suggested that we have expertise who might be able to support them in developing a process which effectively engages the community in a different way than the Tasman Highway Corridor strategy.
Another one is page 281. I'm getting a lot of emails at the moment, and it was alluded to, I think, by Ian, Councillor Carter, in the public question time. Bins on the street in Scamander being a problem with people in scooters, wheelchairs, etc. Are we able to do any, and this is around waste education, are we able to do any education through our website, you know, through the social media, about where bins are meant to be placed for collection, which is not in the middle of the pathway that's going to obstruct it for other people?
Yeah, yes, Drummond, we will work on that one, and I'll work with infrastructure. Unfortunately, community habits and follow the leader, things that seem to underpin the actions of some within our community, they see someone do something, so they do the same.
Councillor Wright.
But if we can at least... No, go on.
I was going to say, on that, through the mayor, in some places there are strips of pedestrian crossing that don't really leave enough between the crossing and the edge of the road in places I've noted. So, you know, if people are putting their bins out, they're going to be on the footpath or they're going to be on the road.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of them, but there are a couple of spots like that. Yeah. So it makes it hard for people to go, well...
I think it's also really hard when people in wheelchairs can't get up and down the footpath because people have got all their bins on the footpath. And in the winter, when the grass is slippery, they can't go round them on the
grass. Understand. I'm just saying sometimes the options of where to put the bins seems a little bit...
I'm in a wheelchair myself. It is really difficult when you're trying to get yourself round when, you know, you've got obstructions all the way. Like, say, you end up going off the curb to the road, it's not particularly...
It's just been raised a lot, so that's why I raised it. And I thought maybe it's just a simple education campaign we can do. And the final thing I've got is around the professional development page 291, councillor learning. There is the new one that's out on land use planning.
So councillors would have received advice from the Office of Local Government around the latest module to do with land use planning, which is out there and available for completion. And... for those councillors that need assistance to access portal or to progress through, Jane and myself are more than happy to assist with that as well. Breaker Day is probably at about number 5 out of 29 within the state, so we're doing pretty well, and it will be good just to keep progressing this. The next one after this is financial, which is actually financial and asset management, which is actually... quite a good module as well. So
I did it yesterday. Information in it. My only suggestion was that if we could report back when we get these emails that say this new model's up, there are no links in there. It doesn't take you to the website. So then I have to go trawling back through my email and find the original one with the links in it, or remember, because I don't remember those things, I'm sorry. I have to look them up. But there's no link in it that takes you direct. So it's just a block. All I'm thinking is that's a block in a way. If you've got something that instantly is there that you click on, that you go over to, you're far more ready to follow it through than if you go, oh, yeah, it's there. Now I've got to go and find where I've got to go to do it. So it's just some small feedback.
Through Mr. Mayor, I will convey that to Diana, and hopefully we might get a new email in the next few days with the link, but that's a really good suggestion to actually do that.
Makes it easier.
Makes it simpler.
Yeah. And it is a good learning module. I actually really, even though I've been here for 10 years, I still found it really useful. So, yeah.
Councillor Carter.
I was going to make a comment before when you were talking about the Scamander Avenue circumstance. I think the nature of that whole structure is prohibitive for everybody to do the right thing. I think most people are trying to do the right thing, but it's very difficult to provide for access and comply with what you're expected to do in terms of putting your rubbish out. If I can just ask another question, please. It's in the Scamander Coastal Hazard and Flood Management. We haven't done a lot of work in that, and it acknowledges that in the documentation. I'm just wondering if we can find someone to advance our circumstance down there. It's been on the tables for a fair while now.
Councillor Carter, it would be great to do it. Unfortunately, we need to rely on the NRM facilitator's expertise, even to guide if you had someone to advance it as well. As Polly's noted within that, is prioritise that. The dog management policy invariably sucks up an incredible amount of resource, and Polly's sort of, it's been a bit more than normal this time around as well, so that's impacted on that. But Polly's very mindful of that. With the completion of the Lower George floodplain project, that PC, that was taking a bit of time. So it's great to have multiple things running at the same time. Unfortunately, when you've got a team of one, mainly, you can't always progress them at the same time. So it becomes a bit more sequential rather than parallel in that. So, but certainly he's onto it, and he's very much aware of the need to progress it.
Thank you. Okay, I'm going to take this to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. Councillor Drummond, unanimous, thank you. 24.17.4, inquiry to local government sustainability.
Yep, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Look, this particular one, federal inquiry, opportunity for us to put forward a submission there on relatively, well, broad terms of reference. So I've taken the liberty of looking at the Local Government Association of Tasmania submission and making some break of day changes to reflect our experience there, and just to, for what it's worth at the federal level, hopefully they read it, but at least we've put something in, and if there is a, they come down and do a visit to Tasmania, then maybe we should just go along and do a presentation as well. But obviously the local government financial sustainability will offer it, revolves around financial assistance grants, etc. That's a critical thing there as well, but it's a high level approach to local government sustainability.
Can I have somebody move the recommendation? Councillor Fever, seconded by Councillor Carter. Any questions, please? Or comments?
Councillor Drummond, I think, had
questions. No, I was just going to ask, dare I even ask, what's happening with the local government review now at the state level? Because
That's a wonderful question. we had a hiatus period of a few months with the state election process, and then we come back and the report that they received and submissions closed on end of February, and we're back. And unfortunately, the minister is on leave at the moment. So at this point in time, it's not moving any faster than a snail's pace, and obviously to progress it, any investigations any further requires a budget allocation, and the mail that I'm getting is that will be September when the state budget's handed down.
Thinking all the pressure that we were put under to, you know, take part, and we did faithfully respond at every opportunity, and here we are sitting, you know. And now I'm thinking we've got a federal inquiry now as well, so it's lovely, isn't it?
If I may, I think we are luckier than a lot of our counterparts. A lot of our counterparts have rate capping as well, and the honest truth, the way I see it, and I tell every member, I don't care if it's ALGA, ministers in federal or state, local government sustainability cannot be just expected to always prevail when they keep pushing down responsibilities and roles to state government with no resources to match. We've actually got to keep pushing back, because if we don't push back, they'll expect us and our ratepayers to subsidise state and federal governments at every opportunity. And I think that's one thing that we all need to be very, very strong on. And the heavy vehicle road tax is one, while I'm on my bandwagon, 27 years and we've never had an increase. 27 years, the trucks have got bigger, and mums and dads in our community are paying rates to our council to subsidise state government roads. We manage 80% of the road network in Tasmania, and they are collecting the money from the heavy vehicle road tax and are not passing it on. And it's unacceptable. So don't talk about sustainability at local government level when they're treating us like crap.
That summed up, Mr. Mayor, I
think. That's my point
of view.
Absolutely. Councillor Carter.
I wouldn't have put it so well as you did, but I think this document is a very important document, and I hope it does get listened to in the right places. I particularly like the comment about ad hoc grants, because as I made a comment earlier about some of the things that happen in our community, because we don't know from one year to the next, we cannot get programs up and maintained with the right people, because they have to disappear because they don't know what's going on.
True comment, Councillor Carter. Do we have any further comments? Because I think it's really important that our council does put in a submission on this. If everybody's happy with that, I'll take it to the vote. All in favour, carried unanimous. Thank you. Well, that concludes our normal meeting. Pursuant to Regulation 15.1, the Local Government Meeting Procedure Regulation 2015, the council moving to close council. Thank you very much, Sandra, for attending today. Bye. Can I have somebody move that we move to closed council? Councillor Chappell, seconded by Councillor Barnes.